is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Michael Gunnar with Insight to Israel
and Hershey's for Heroes.
And welcome to another beautiful day in the Jewish state.
Yeah, thank you.
And I want to start off by saying thank you to the guys at America's Web Radio who bring the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. The truth about Israel as this little strip of land in 67 years, happy birthday Israel, 67 years of greatness as it is number one in the world in technology, agriculture, and medicine, and the vast amounts of humanitarian work that it does around the world. It's amazing, amazing, amazing. So thank you to the guys at America's Web Radio. We are heard in the United States, in Canada, in Europe, in Israel, in Australia, in the top 20% out of 26,000 radio shows. And if we labored arduously, tirelessly, excuse me, with conviction and principle that we will stand at all cost with the Jewish state as they fight daily for sovereignty and security. Thank you, America's Web Radio. Thank you for what you do. I cannot emphasize that enough. Listen, Mr. Argozy, I want to say thank you for being on the show.
I'm happy to be here on your show. It's a great honor and pleasure for me to be on your show, and I'm at your service. Fire away your questions. I will answer every one of them.
We're going to get to that, sir. It's another beautiful day. Can you say that? Tell us where we are. Describe for the listeners.
We are in Rishon LeZion. It's the fourth largest city in Israel. It's something like 10 miles south of Tel Aviv, near the beach, the Mediterranean beach.
Beautiful.
We have a beautiful beach here. And we are in a complex, a cinema complex that was built a few years ago with 26 cinema halls,
wow,
restaurants, and beautiful restaurants and beautiful girls. And it's a gorgeous day today. And we have a artificial lake here. Soon will be gondolas in the lake for tourists, for Israelis to enjoy. On the weekends, it's full. It's fully packed here. And
wow.
It's another beautiful place in Israel. We have many of them. And I'm happy that you are here with me.
Sir, I'll tell you, it is what I'm seeing here, folks. We're going to have some video for you. What I'm seeing here is amazing. This little part is just beautiful.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It is. But then when I travel all up and down this country, even if I travel the same road twice, I'm still in awe when I think of the history. When I think of the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth Aliyah, when I think of the Palmach, Lehi, and Etzel, and the Haganah, and how they defended the Jewish people long before 48 from the Muslims that sought to destroy them. Now, I don't want to get off. We're going to get to you,
okay,
sir. It's an honor to have you here. We met through Tom Trento. But I also want to stop and say thank you to all of the Americans. Number one, that make a tax-deductible or PayPal donation to support Insight to Israel. Folks, this is more than a full-time job. Plus, I scrub toilets. Plus, I've done some acting since I've been here. It's pretty amazing. I've never had any desire, but I just played in a movie where I played a Israeli naval officer. And in the same movie, I played an Israeli combat officer.
Whoa.
Combat soldier. What an honor to put that uniform on, even though it was I'm not really in the military. But with that being said, I want to say thank you to those who support Insight to Israel with a tax-deductible or PayPal donation. And God bless those that are participators, not spectators, in Hershey's for Heroes, where Americans literally send thousands of Hershey's chocolate bars with notes on them to the soldiers. We love you. We pray for you. We stand with you. Hershey's is not involved with this program. I wouldn't take a million chocolate bars from them.
Okay.
Do you know why, sir? I want the Americans, if you say you love Israel and do nothing. Yeah, look, I went to events in Washington, D.C. and stood there and waved the flag. You know, warm and fuzzy,
yeah.
Wave the Israeli flag, I love Israel. It's baloney.
It's baloney.
It's baloney.
AIPAC,
baloney.
I agree.
So I would go to these and I would be like, what does this mean to me? What does this mean to, why, and why are there so many Jews here? Shouldn't they be in Israel after 2,000 years of no homeland? So if you have not participated, and I, this is what I'm going to say, if you want to see the effect of what you do for Israel, have an impact, you can do it through Hershey's for Heroes. Sir, I've had soldiers cry.
Yeah, it's a good thing you're doing for the soldiers, to bring the chocolates to the front line. And God bless you.
I've had soldiers read that note on that chocolate bar, and they said, Michael, we didn't know. The world, can you imagine? Sir, I can't imagine. You've seen it. I've had 18-year-olds look at me and say, Michael, the world hates us. That's completely unacceptable to me.
It's unacceptable because people do not know about Israel. People, it's okay, people... People have a distorted picture about Israel. I can tell you a story,
right.
A personal story. A friend of mine, a journalist, a British journalist, once came to Israel, and he had in his passport stamps of Arab countries. Sorry. So I went to the airport. I had a pass to go to the gate to take him without any problem with security. And we drove into Tel Aviv about the same time now, Friday afternoon, like today. And all of a sudden, in the outskirts of Tel Aviv, he asked me very seriously, where are the tanks? I said, what do you mean? Are you drunk? He said, what do you mean? In Israel, in every intersection, you have tanks and machine guns. I took him to the Tel Aviv beach, the beautiful girl. Since today, when he calls me, he said, the conversation starts, are the tanks there? He was sure. By listening to CNN and other TV channels, that in Israel is like a big military camp. There are tanks and machine guns and soldiers.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. And that shows you that the distorted picture of Israel, that is one of the reasons that people hate Israel. They think that Israel are busy killing people and women and old folks the whole day. This is a hobby to kill people. Israel is a beautiful country. You can see it. Technology is superb. The food is superb.
Yeah.
The culture is superb.
Beautiful.
People just want to live in peace and enjoy life. And the Arab countries that are neighboring Israel and countries like Iran want this small piece of land for themselves, and we will not let them have it.
Amen.
Trust me.
Amen.
Israel is so strong that they can talk. Israel will not let anyone touch this country. It may involve some other wars, as we experienced in the years that since this country has been established, but we will win. Because we are on the justified side, and we know what we defend, and that's the reality we live in. I don't think that peace will come to Israel or to the region in the coming years.
No.
If you see what's going around us, Hezbollah and Syria, and even Egypt in the Sinai Desert with all those Al Qaeda and ISIS, it's crazy, and they behead people. And I didn't see the UN denouncing ISIS or Hezbollah or Al-Qaeda. But wherever they have a small opportunity, they denounce Israel.
Right.
So this is crazy. This is hypocrisy at its best or at its worst. And that's it. If you have questions, fire away.
And so at the end of that, that's why Americans need to get involved with Hershey's for Heroes.
I agree.
Well, we're going to finish this part up. This is part of my introduction. You added a great deal to it. When soldiers see that note, it's amazing, the reaction. They love the chocolate. That's a benefit.
I know.
But it's all about the note.
I know.
It's about the note.
I know.
And so I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to Hershey's for Heroes. Folks, if you are not involved, and especially, I'm going to tell you, if you say you're a Christian and you're listening to this radio show and you haven't sent me a box of Hershey's for Heroes, I will tell you flat out that you're playing the hypocrite. It's time to get it together. I got people I went to seminary with, to Bible college with. They got churches. They see my Facebook page. I never heard from them one time. They even like stuff on my page. Never once. And I'm Hershey's for Heroes every day.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'm a bust on it.
Okay.
Anyway, so thank you to everyone who gives to Hershey's for Heroes. You can go to the Facebook page, go to the About section, and see how you can give to Hershey's for Heroes.
Okay.
Mr. Argozy.
Yeah.
Michael Gannot, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for being here.
No problem. Anytime you need me, I'll be here.
And I want to say thank you to Tom Trento Tom Trento with the United West for actually introducing us.
Yeah.
We both know Tom is a great man. We all work together. I'm sure that you understand that these are not days for ego,
yeah,
but for companionship, for camaraderie.
Absolutely.
And let me ask you, I want to start off, where you were born here in Israel.
I was born in Israel. My mother was born in Israel. She came at the age, she was born in the northern part of Israel. At the age of 1 year, she came on a donkey all the way from the northern part of Israel to Rishon LeZion.
Wow.
Yeah, with her parents that came from Poland. And I was born here. My kids were born here. I served in the army, my wife served in the army, my kids served in the army, and my son was a medic, a combat medic.
Wow.
Two daughters served in the Air Force. One of them was an officer, and we are proud to be Israelis. And I know the might of the Israeli Defense Forces and the Israeli Air Force, and I know that if someone will really endanger the fate of Israel, they will get such a reaction that they cannot even imagine.
Can't
imagine.
Now, let me ask you, we're going to start off with you, but tell us exactly what you worked at. You were in the army, correct?
Yes, I was in the army for two years. When I went out of the army, I went to the university. I studied international law and journalism, and then I started to work in the Israeli radio, in an Israeli news agency that doesn't exist anymore. And for 4 years, I worked for Yediot Ahronot, it's Israel's largest daily newspaper. And in the last 3 years, I'm the editor-in-chief of a website dealing with homeland security. It's called IsraelHomelandSecurity.com. And we deal with all the technical and not only technical aspects of the big defense industry in Israel that has come out with some ingenious weapon systems that even the U.S. doesn't have. If you take, for an example, 2 weeks ago, there was the final series of tests of what we call David Sling. David Sling is a interceptor system that is aimed to defend Israel from long range rockets that Hezbollah have in Lebanon, and in the last test, the interceptor hit the rocket, what we call kinetic kill. It's hit metal to metal, which is like,
wow,
like two needles in space.
Two bullets.
Two needles in space hit. And in 2 years from now, this system will be deployed and will defend Israel from the long-range rocket. Because for the short range, we have Iron Dome that in the last summer protective edge achieved something like 92% kill rates, which is
amazing,
unprecedented in the world. So Israel has the technology, but if you look at it from a philosophical side, just imagine that all this effort would be put in cancer research,
right?
In cancer research,
right.
in ways to improve people's lives, and not in weapon system. But we have to defend ourselves, and these are systems that Israel cannot buy anywhere because they don't exist. Because the U.S. hasn't developed such system because no one is firing rockets at Washington or New York.
Right.
In last summer protective edge, rockets were intercepted above our house when we were in the safe room. So for us it's a matter of death, life and death. So the technology in Israel is amazing. We develop other systems that are still classified, but if you look at them, it's on the border of science fiction, and they are all intended to protect the people of Israel from those crazy people who now behead people and rape people, and all of them just hate Israel for no reason, because we don't want any piece of their land. We don't want nothing. We just want to live in Israel, to live peacefully, and to raise children and grandchildren. But this is reality, and we have to face it.
Now, you know, it's really something, because I hear this a lot. We just want to live in peace. Now, I'm more of a religious fellow, sir. I'm sure you've read the Quran. You're a very studied man. The Quran says openly to kill Jews. And so this is where, and I know Arab is a cultural term, I try to explain these things to the listeners so to educate them, because Arab, when you hear the word Arab in the media, it's a cultural term used for two reasons. Number one, by those inside of the Middle East, because it's the Middle East. And those outside of the Middle East, because they want to play the politically correct game and don't want the Muslims to get upset with them.
I agree.
So with that being said, sir, let me ask you, when you were a kid, did you ever dream that you'd be doing what you are now? Like, what events transpired?
Yes, since I was a kid, I liked to write. And I knew that I'll become a journalist. And right after I finished my army service, I started to work in a small newspaper. And then I went up the ladder, and I became the defense correspondent and the aviation correspondent of Idiot Ahronot. I worked for the Israeli radio. And I think that being a journalist in Israel, we have a mission. We have a mission to tell the people in Israel what the facts are, and to tell the world what the facts are. I'm also working for the international press, and I try to explain what I just told you, the fact about Israel. And I tell many people, come to Israel, come right. to Israel, see for yourself. I will take you around. I will show you that we do not behead people, we do not rape women, we don't kill children. We have a fantastic medical system in Israel, one of the best. We complain about it, Israel, but we always complain about everything. But in Israel, everyone gets medical service, not like in the United States. Everyone in Israel gets medical treatment, the best in the world. Okay, Israelis complain about everything. We complain about the economy, we complain. But
I never show that side, which is human nature.
Human nature, it's human nature.
I like the sunny.
Yeah, but yeah, we complain. But when we sit between ourselves,
right.
we say, come on, we have a beautiful country.
Right, you're right.
We have everything. We have beaches, we have beautiful girls, we have a culture, we have history, we have good food, excellent food. So what else could we want? We need peace. We need peace in this small country. But the Arabs, the Muslim around us, will not let us have it. So
you know, I say this a lot, and I tell Israel, especially Tel Aviv, look, you work in the media. You have leftist media just like we have in the United States.
Absolutely.
And when they, you know, why would you come here? You're not Jewish. You know, what is this your concern, and why would you leave the United States? And I tell them that as an American, I owe the Jewish people for my freedom. As an American.
I think so.
My sister didn't even get it, and she was raised Christian, you know, and I said, if it had not been for Hashem, for God giving the Jewish people Torah, I wouldn't have a United States Constitution or Bill of Rights. Ambassador Edinger knows American history better than most Americans.
Yeah,
you're familiar with him.
Yeah.
You're friends with him.
Yeah. So I agree 100%. I think that the American and the world, should recognize that Israel is a cornerstone for freedom of the world.
Absolutely.
The freedom. If you see what's happening in Iran, in Iraq, in Syria, and the UN is so, this organization is a waste of time and money. They're worth nothing. They're worth nothing. They have what they call peace forces. They run away after the first shot. They do nothing. They do nothing. But they denounce Israel in the Security Council, in the Assembly. So why do we need this organization in New York? You can take this building and turn it into a luxury hotel and make some money. That's my opinion, because it's this organization. But believe me, Israel can take care of itself. And if I'd like Bibi Netanyahu, Prime Minister, said, if the world will not help us, we can take care of ourselves. And what else do you want to know?
So let me ask you, you get through all this, you're where you are now. There's a reason why I'm asking. Your children, how are they a big participator in what you do?
No, they have their jobs.
Okay.
They have their jobs. They read what I write. They're involved, but they have their lives. They have kids, and they're busy with their lives. We see each other every week.
And they all live here in Israel.
They all live in
Israel.
They
didn't go somewhere else.
No,
like...
they don't. They don't even have a plan to go outside. They travel a lot as tourists, but they live in Israel, and they will stay in Israel. And
so let me ask you, in all the years that you've been in business, what would you say would be one of the highlights of what you've done in this field of media?
There are many highlights. I think that that the highlights is when I can, when the censors allow me to write about another achievement of the Israeli industry, especially the defense industry, because not everything can be exposed.
Right.
But when they let me, the first time that they let me write about Iron Dome, I was so happy because it showed the world that there are ways to deal with threats. And when you know that in 2002, an Israeli airliner was almost shot down from the sky in Kenya with a shoulder launched missile. You know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay. And after that, the Israeli government decided to equip all the Israeli airliners
with
a system, not only Elal, Kia, Israel,
a
system that would protect it from shoulder launched missiles. And Israel developed such a system that hits the missile in 2 seconds with a laser beam and take it away from the aircraft.
Wow.
And now the Israeli airliners are equipped with this system. So this is almost science fiction. But we had to do it. We had to develop it. We had to put it on the airliners because it's a threat. You know, they are now, according to updated intelligence reports, something like 20,000 shoulder launch missiles, what they call MENPADs, in the world, in the hands of terror organization.
Right.
Only after Libya, after Gaddafi in Libya was taken down, 5,000 shoulder launch missiles were taken from the army's storage houses, and they are out there waiting to shoot down an airliner. So the danger is all around us. And these people do not care. They do not care. They can kill hundreds of people just for fun. So that's it. That's it.
Wow. So let me ask you, and in the next segment, we're actually going to talk in more detail about Israeli technology, what you're faced with Hamas. Daesh is now, they're finding out that ISIS is now on the Jordanian-Israeli border.
All the time, they are there.
And what you see coming up here in the next few years? Because I don't, you know, the United States obviously is not doing much about Daesh. We're not making any progress. Iran is...
The coalition is a bad joke.
And yet, because it's we call it a coalition, the government calls it a coalition, we continue to fund, arm, and train.
Let me tell you, I'm talking with Israeli experts. The coalition is a joke. Sending two F-15s or two F-18s a day to put some bombs on a camp in the desert, this is not a war against terrorism.
Right.
The U.S. should have taken the old B-52. With 60 tons of bombs and
carpet bombs.
Carpet bomb again. Exactly. But what they're doing now is a symbolic thing. It doesn't affect. And ISIS, as we call it, Daesh, is expanding. They are on the border here. They are border in Lebanon. They are border in Syria. They are border with Jordan. They can take Jordan in 2 days.
Yeah.
In 2 days because... I don't understand how Washington, how the administration doesn't see the dangers for American interests, leave alone Israeli interests, the American interest in the region. This is a question that I cannot answer.
And we're going to talk about that in the next segment. I want to ask you a few more questions, though, because it's very important that people understand why you do what you do. Because a lot of this, I'm sure, is influenced from what your family's been through. You said your mother came from Poland.
Yeah, no, her parents came from Poland. They were not in the Holocaust. It was before the Second World War.
But do you know what year that was? This is very significant for the listeners.
No, I have to. They came before the
1948.
Before the Second World War. My family and I think many of my friends believe that this is the place for Jews. This is the only safe place in the world for Jews, not only because of the last years, the things that have been happening in the last year, all the years. Anti-Semitism is a thing that is around all the time. It's up and down all the time, but it's there. It's out there. And I'm convinced, and my family is convinced, that this is the only place for Jews to live in peace and in safety.
Secular and religious.
Sorry?
Secular and religious.
I'm secular. I'm secular, and I still think that I'm not going to synagogue. I'm not praying. I'm not keeping kosher. But I'm an Israeli, and this is the only place for us. Not for religious considerations,
right?
Because this is the place. We have a strong army, we have the technology to defend ourselves, and that's the place.
Nice. Well, all right. One more thing I need to ask you. What does your wife do for a living? Not like, how does she, when she looks at you, did she marry you because you are a Zionist?
No. She married me because I'm a nice guy. Yes, and we have been together for many years. And now she was a teacher in the army.
Oh wow!
Yes, she was a teacher in Sderot, the town that has been hit with rockets.
Yeah, they get
many
hit
times.
Hundreds of them.
She served as a soldier, as a teacher in a school in Sderot. We still have friends in Sderot, and then she was in sales. Now she is retired, taking care of the grandchildren and granddaughters, and taking care of me, and that's it. And we just live this peacefully as circumstances allow us.
Nice.
Okay.
All right. Well, Iris, you're getting all this. I want to say thank you to Iris Burrell for doing the video on this.
She is doing a great job.
And you're getting both of us in at the same time, right, Iris? In the video, you should be.
Do you appreciate the job that he's doing for you?
You know, I'll tell you, I want to say that Iris has been a vital part.
I think it's better to hear you than to see you both today.
Ken. Iris has been a vital part of what we do at Insight to Israel and Mercies for Heroes.
I know.
Anyone that knows Iris...
I'm normally a very cynical person, but about Iris, I'm convinced that she's with us.
She is definitely
for good
with
reasons.
Us. She's a Zionist, that's for sure. Now, she wasn't as Zionist, this is my opinion...
Until she met you.
Until we became friends.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm looking at her face right now.
Your influence on Iris, she became a Zionist, I know.
And I'm glad I could have that impact. So, listen, folks, we're going to come right back for the second segment. Mr. Argozi, we're going to get some more detailed information this time.
Whatever you want,
we're going to talk about the work that you're doing.
No problem. I'll tell you stories, of course, with the limitations of security. I will tell you stories that will make your listeners and viewers very very happy.
And we're going to actually put your information when we do the promotional for the radio show, so folks can go to your website and
Absolutely.
Read updates about.
They can read a few news stories every day. We have video segments, and they can go to the website and see for themselves. And thank you very much.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gano. Thank you. God bless Patriot Conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
Books that God gave the Jewish people that's good for me. It's blessed my life. And it talks about not going into debt. But I want to tell Americans, if you've never been to Israel, if you want your life to be blessed, go take out a bank loan and come to Israel. Spend your money in this great country. Help out the economy. And when the economy goes bust in the United States, then, my God, you'll be the only one blessed on your block. Everyone else will be out of work, and you'll be blessed. So come on down to Israel. We want to show you. Look, we'll take you on a tour. Insight to Israel will take you on a tour. We'll get Tom and those guys back here. We'll get you on their tour.
Good idea.
We'll show you all around this great country. We'll get you on a base to hand out Hershey's for Heroes to the soldiers.
Fantastic.
So anyway, thanks for being on the show, sir. We got a little bit of insight as to who you are.
Yes.
And I want to say thank you for what you do. It's got to be an interesting job.
It's a very interesting job. Every day is different from the other. And things are happening in Israel so fast that you cannot... Most of the day you cannot expect what will happen an hour later, and that's what makes my job very interesting. I will share my stories with you.
Please, let me ask you first. I have found myself saying, because I honestly believe, when I think about this country being the only country that has a satellite rotating opposite of the Earth's rotation, which is incredible. No one else has that yet.
I know.
And you're not going to share that. And I hope you never share anything. Let me say this.
By the way.
Go ahead.
The Israeli satellites are launched. If you look at that hill over there.
Yeah.
It's something like 5 kilometers from here. The satellites are being launched from here.
Oh, really?
That's the base.
Yes. Wow.
Yes, that's the base.
We're that close.
Palmachim base.
This is a small country.
Yes, and we launch to the west, above the sea, because if we launch to the east, it will go over Jordan and the enemy countries. So we launch against the normal. Trajectory that normally takes satellites into orbit.
Amazing.
And the base is very, very near to here. And I saw some of the launches. You see the rocket going up, and it's amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. I've been known to say, because I believe it. It's a firm conviction of mine, and I'm not. It's not like I'm a deep student of Israeli technology, military technology, and advancements, which I'm amazed at even the stuff you do have that's out on the market that you use, like the Iron Dome and now David's Sling coming up. But would you say that Israel is about 20 years more advanced than the rest of the world?
Absolutely. In some areas, absolutely. At least 10, 15 years. If you take, let's say, UAVs, unmanned air vehicles, Israel has a set of UAVs that is so advanced. I'm only talking about those that has been declassified.
Right.
I'm not talking about the classified system. But the U.S. has bought UAVs from Israel. France has bought the U.S. from Israel. The British has a program called Watchkeeper, which is based on an Israeli UAV.
And for the listener's sake, a UAV is an unmanned
air vehicle.
Air vehicle.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a system. It's an aerial system, unmanned, controlled from the ground, which now is doing many missions in the battlefield, especially for intelligence. And so Israel is so advanced. We are doing UAVs from the size of a butterfly that can go into a building without anyone noticing.
Amazing.
To another UAV that has a wingspan of 27 meters. That's the wingspan of a Boeing 737.
Wow.
Yes, it's called the Heron TP, and it's an amazing system. And in the next show, I will tell you some more stories about this system.
Yeah, I would love to know about it. You know, it's amazing because during Sukkot 10, or Protective Edge, I was down on the Gaza border. I'll tell you, sir, the listeners might want to cover their ears for this, because I had a great time down there. I love being with the soldiers. I love getting shot at. I was, you know, Kibbutz Sufah? I was down there with the soldiers that discovered Hamas coming out of the ground. You can hear it in the video. The commander's like, Michael, we discovered them. They put their heavy helmets on, Michael. We discovered them coming out of the tunnels. There's going to be a firefight. We're going to actually launch some rockets at them. Do you want to go back? And I'm like, no, I don't. I'm fine right here. And I recorded it. Didn't give away names or
places. You're a little bit crazy, you know?
I loved it. I loved it. And now I'm going to tell you, there's a reason why I'm saying all this. When I was down there sleeping on a yoga mat in an open field, my mother couldn't look at my Facebook page for 6 weeks. And I'm taking, you know what a French bath is?
Yeah.
I was taking a French bath butt naked, mooning the snipers down there on the Gaza side. And I was butt naked out there in the field, taking a French bath, using baby wipes, and wiping myself down, then putting fresh clothes on them for my backpack. And all night long, you can't sleep down there. It's a farce to say that I was sleeping, because I had an insulated blanket, a small foil blanket, trying to keep a little warm from that breeze. It was still summertime, but there's still that breeze on the field. And I could hear those drones all night buzzing in my ears, flying like three or four of them.
The unit is called the Skyrider. It's being operating by the artillery corps, but serving other units of the army. They are hand launched.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and in the coming years they will have some more types, and we'll talk about it in the next show. I will tell you what is allowed to be told about the fantastic technology of not only UAVs but ground. Unmanned ground systems and unmanned sea systems that help Israel to, for example, protect the natural gas in the Mediterranean. Okay?
Amazing. Let me ask you this. Yeah. There just came out in the media that you have an underwater system, a warning system that detects even scuba divers that would be coming into your waters.
That's correct.
What's the name of that? Can you tell us?
I know the official name. I cannot tell you, but it's there.
Okay.
It's been developed by one of the major companies in Israel. It's composed of what I can tell, a composed of sonars and very sensitive underwater microphones.
Wow!
And it's doing a great job.
Amazing. You know what, sir? And what folks need to realize is that.
The small one.
Small one for you.
That's
for her.
Is that the Jewish people do this because you have no choice.
We have no choice. First of all, we cannot buy those systems. We cannot buy those systems in any other place for two reasons. None of the countries have it.
And right.
Countries that have it will not sell it to Israel. So we have a problem. We have to develop them for ourselves. And the achievements of the Israeli defense industries are really amazing. Every time I come to one of these industries, I'm amazed again, and I know the industries very well inside out. The achievements are really people are doing things that really are on the verge of science fiction only a few miles from here to the south. There's an Israeli company who is developing an unmanned system that can hover.
You done video?
Okay, I'll see you next time.
Yeah. So.
I'll tell you. I have some good stuff for you next time.
So here's what we're gonna do. Like it's the reasoning or the effect that you create such advanced systems is because I've actually been to a school in the Golan Heights, which is one of many. Because you start giving tests to young people when they're children, IQ tests. And I went to this school, it's amazing, where they take the young boys, and a lot of them are from Judea and Samaria, otherwise known as the West Bank, and they take an IQ test, and these kids are so advanced in their ability when it comes to intelligence that they start training them from the time they're children and into high school. And they teach them about electronics, all kinds of engineering, which then leads into them going into the military. It's
Absolutely.
Amazing the young people I meet that
Absolutely.
I ask them, in fact, I was in the movie I was in yesterday. One of the guys is currently a soldier, but he is in college right now in university. And then when he finishes university electronic engineering and computer programming, then he'll go on into the army. will be an officer, kind of like the what they do in the States.
Yeah, you know that there's a system where young people can go into the army at the age of 18. The army pays for their education, and they serve in the army as officers for at least 5 years to use the education that they got, and most of the technology. We called it Atuda. Atuda, we called it. This is very successful. People go and study on the expense of the army, and then serve the army for 5 or 7 years, according to the topic that they are expert on. It's amazing. That brings the army high-level specialists,
right.
And some of them stay in the army.
Wow.
And stay for as a career.
Right.
It's very clever because you bring the best people into the army.
It's amazing, the testing system. It's very classified. I haven't ever asked. I don't want to. Look, I respect the security here and everything, and I honor it. And I would actually, I'm going to be honest with you, and for the listeners, I would fight for this country before I would the United States. Some people don't want to hear that. But if you understand what's going on in the U.S. and how, with the funding of Islam and everything, which is another story, I have to ask myself a legitimate question when I know that it's because of the Jewish people I'm a free man. I have a moral, biblical, ethical, historical, archaeological obligation to stand and fight with you as you fight for freedom every day. And so when I see the advancements of what they do with these young people, and they're proud. It's amazing. There's such a pride. Even though they have to join the army, very few times have I ever experienced someone who said, I don't want to do this. You know, I'd rather be going off to Thailand or something like that.
They go after the army or before the army, but they serve for 3 years. Women serve for 2 years. And I think it's an honor to serve in the IDF, and because you cannot expect the country to protect you without contributing something to the effort.
Right.
So at least you go to the army, you serve for 3 years, man, 3 years, and then you know that you did your part. And we serve in the reserve. I served in the reserve until the age of 40.
Wow.
So I was called every year to for at least a month.
And the reserves in Hebrew is called Miluim.
Miluim.
Now, let me ask you, what would you say... Now, the guys that run these technology companies, military technology companies, what would be the... Is there a percentage of them that maybe were officers in the Army? I mean, as far as their background, that would lead them into this?
It's an interesting story. In Israel, there's this very special situation. Let's say an engineer in one of the industries is on Sunday in his office in the industry, and on Monday he puts on uniform and he goes to his army unit and he tests the system that he has been developed for the last 3 months.
Wow.
That happens every day.
Wow.
It's a unique situation in the world. And it gives fruits because he goes from the lab, from his lab, from the air-conditioned lab, and he can test the system that he has been developing and see how it works in real life. And then he comes back after a month. I see it every month.
Wow.
I go to army units and say, hey, I met you in this company. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Iris, I've said it.
Iris is doing okay?
Very, very good.
Fascinating.
So you actually have the opportunity, unique opportunity, because I obviously you have some kind of security clearance.
I have.
And you have the opportunity to actually go in.
Not everywhere, but in most places.
Tell us what you showed Tom Trento and those guys from the United West when they were here.
I took Tom to the assembly line of the UAV in Israel Aerospace Industries.
Wow!
I got a permission, a special permission for him. Of course, they checked him, and I said that he's a friend of Israel, and I took him there. Very few people have the clearance to go. He went actually into the assembly line of the UAVs, and even took pictures. And I brought one of the managers to explain everything to him because I said he's a friend of Israel. And he was very impressed. Everyone will be impressed that you see things that really science fiction. And that's it. I do my best to show, with the limitations that we have, security limitations, of course, heavy. I am under the censorship law. As long as I work for, as a journalist, we still have a military censorship. Israel is a free country.
Right.
We don't
right.
have censorship on the press, on theater, on books, but on military, and for good reasons, because we cannot write about everything you know.
Right.
Because some things should be undercover for many years, because it's the security of Israel.
Right.
We should leave some
mysteries.
Surprises for the enemy.
Absolutely.
So,
you know, I've even heard of a weapon that you have. And I can't remember what I heard about. I heard about it like a year ago. And this is the most humane military in the world, I have to say. Sometimes I think you're too humane.
I share your idea.
But I will say that I think part of that is about 40% of it is because you actually care. I believe that. And it's not that you don't care in the other 60%, but I think part of the 60% is for the rest of the world.
I agree.
And because you could have wiped the Gaza off the map very easily.
In a day. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. If the order would have been given, but this is an urban city, and all the attacks were surgical attacks.
Right.
Surgical attacks. But if the Air Force and the Army would get the order to
go in and do what
needs full force in a day to be over.
Yeah.
Of course.
But because of the world community, they keep funding billions of dollars into the Gaza, especially American tax dollars.
Yeah, and most of them went to the leaders of Hamas who live in Qatar.
Can.
And they're Swiss banks.
They don't even live here, right.
Of course.
They don't even live here.
Their Swiss banks account are exploding with American dollars and euros. And that's it. That's the situation. Enough for today. Next time.
Sorry, we still have another 15 minutes, sir. You're
going
to have to bear with
me.
Yeah, sorry about that. You can't see the clock where I'm seeing it. So don't rush off on me. And the listeners.
Okay, I'll stay with you as long as you need me.
Yeah, we got a few more minutes here. Actually, right now we're at 18 minutes.
Okay.
So we're not going to keep you for much longer.
No, it's okay.
So let me ask you.
The breeze is nice.
We
have a beautiful woman with
crowd.
Us here.
You're a beautiful crowd.
You have a beautiful crowd.
Lots of crowd.
No, it's not a crowd. Beautiful woman, Iris.
Iris is a fantastic.
She is.
The love of Israel shines in her eyes, even with
absolutely.
The sunglasses on.
Gorgeous woman.
She has to reverse the sunglasses. The shine is so bright.
Wow. You're
hilarious. So let me ask you, sir.
Stop calling me
sir.
I'm not a sir.
Go ahead, Iris. Go ahead. Jump in.
I just want to know, what is your opinion about the action that we need to do about Iran now, Iran problem?
Iran?
Iran problem, yeah.
We should tell Iran, you will have a nuclear bomb. We know that.
Yeah, they're going to get one.
They will get one. The world is too. The world is doing nothing, really. They just talk. They sit in a beautiful hotel in Lausanne, in Switzerland, eating shrimps, drinking wine, and doing nothing. And we should tell Iran, you'll have a bomb, but if you try to do something, you'll be wiped out. Not only Tehran, Iran will be out of the earth.
Glass.
Do you think
glass.
It's going to scare them?
No. It'll be...
They don't care less about the lives of people anyway.
The situation will be as was in during the Cold War between the USSR and America. A balance of fear. They know that we can they can destroy them. They will not use their nuclear weapons. They will not use their nuclear weapons because they know that Israel has the capability to destroy Iran with whatever weapons Israel has. That's my answer.
But obviously they will attack first, okay? So once they attack, so...
It's a lose-lose situation, I agree. Both countries will be wiped out. And that's why I think they will not attack. they will try to attack Antigua. I think before Israel, they will try to attack the states in the Gulf, like Saudi Arabia and the UAE, because they want their oil, and they are worried more than Israel now about Iran, because they don't have the military might that Israel has. They can take Saudi Arabia in 2 days, in a day, if they want, and they're worried.
That's why Saudi Arabia actually paid off Al-Qaeda to not attack them.
Absolutely.
Back in the earlier part of the 2000s.
But they don't try to eliminate Saudi Arabia like they don't threat about Israel.
No, they don't want to eliminate, but they want to take it over. Do you know the fact that Saudi Arabia has ballistic missiles, old ballistic missiles for the last 25 years, and now a few years ago they renewed their arsenal. They have long range ballistic missiles. Think why Saudi Arabia needs ballistic missiles? Because of Iran. They know that Iran one day will try to take over their territory with the oil fields.
Right.
And they're very worried about it. And the UAE, all the Gulf states.
Qatar.
All of them. Iran has a plan to take over the area, to become a leading power in the Middle East.
A caliphate.
Caliphate, absolutely. Not only ISIS, Iran has the same plan. And they don't hide it. They say openly, we want to do it. And they manage to fool the world. They smile. They wear beautiful suits when they come to Switzerland. They don't threaten anyone, and they get everything they want.
They do actually. Amazing. They don't wear the whole Iranian outfit.
No. They are actors. They are fantastic actors. They should act. They should get the Oscar. They should get. They come to Switzerland. And they know how to behave. They don't shout, they don't threat. But at the end of the day, they fool everybody. They fool everybody. The U.S., the Europeans. And let me tell you, the Europeans and the Americans know that they are being fooled, and they don't care. They want to make business with Iran.
You're right.
I know.
And the amazing thing is, you get a guy like Obama who said just a few weeks ago, Iran is not going to be a threat to anyone simply because it is against Islam. Against their religion.
Come on.
Which is very, not naive, he's lying.
Let me ask you a question. A few weeks ago, something like 3 weeks ago, Iran has officially told that they have successfully tested a long-range cruise missile based on a Russian missile with a range of 2,500 kilometers. Take the map and look where are the potential targets for such a missile. It's not Israel. It's very far away in Europe, 2,500 kilometers. So they developed weapons that could hit European countries. They are a threat to the world.
And the European countries have no ballistic missile system because Russia didn't want it set up.
Of course.
And they threatened the gas lines.
The U.S. wanted to deploy some ballistic missile interceptor in Poland, in the Czech Republic, and President Putin said, "Niet." It was niet.
It shows the cowardice of the world.
Absolutely.
It shows the cowardice of the world. So let me ask you, let's talk about the drones now that Hezbollah flew from one end of Israel to the other last year. Was it last year?
Hezbollah used Iranian-made, very basic...
And you shot it down.
...drone. They wanted to see the reaction time of the Israeli Air Force, and the Israeli Air Force proved that they always shot down in a few minutes over the Mediterranean. But according to sources, reliable sources, they will get more advanced drones for Iran. That will put the Israeli Air Force in a much complicated situation. But of course, the Israeli Air Force is not sitting and doing nothing. They prepare themselves to such a situation, and I'm sure that any attempt to send drones into Israel will be met by a variety of opposition, of course. But Iran is supplying the Hezbollah with many, many advanced systems as gifts. They don't have to pay for it.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Hezbollah is the front line of Iran in Lebanon. Lebanon has been taken completely by Hezbollah. The government of Lebanon is a puppet show, and Hezbollah is controlling Lebanon,
yeah.
And they have ruined the country. Israelis who in many years ago visited Lebanon tell stories about how beautiful Lebanon. You know that Beirut was called Paris of the Middle East.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes, they had casinos, they had cafes, and this country was a beautiful spot for tourism, and they completely brought this country to rubble. And if this is not stupidity, I don't know.
This, ladies and gentlemen, this is what Islam does.
Absolutely.
So now, I read an article in J-Post about now they're going to start using, because it's cheaper, kamikaze drones.
Yes, they have.
Which means they're going to fly drones
they can,
in.
They can put in every small drone, you can put some explosive. The thing is, again, how advanced it is and how Israel has the means to confront. I cannot, of course, go into specific.
Right.
Israel has the means to detect the threat and to deal with it. But if they pull the string too much, as we say, Israel will not sit and wait for things to happen. Israel will act. And I think that if Hezbollah is thinking about attacking Israel with rockets and missiles again, the Dahiya quarter that was demolished in the last Lebanon war, that will be only a small sample of what will happen in Lebanon.
Do you see with Daesh, ISIS,
yes,
down on the Jordanian-Israeli border, everywhere we talked about Islam is gathering its forces,
yeah,
in one way or another. Would I be wrong in assuming that we're probably going to have another operation this summer? Hamas is still digging tunnels.
It doesn't have anything to do with ISIS. Hamas in Gaza,
which is something different. What the listeners need to
Hamas
know.
Hamas in Gaza. There'll be another round in Gaza. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
No question. The timing is only the question. When will it happen? They are developing rockets. They are testing rockets. They are launching rockets into the Mediterranean almost every day. They are developing their capabilities. They get now. It's very hard for them to get rockets smuggled from the Sinai because the Egyptians blocked the border between Egypt and Gaza, and really blocked it. They demolished many tunnels and they built a bumper. So it's very hard for them to now, but they develop in-house rockets and they test it every week into the Mediterranean. The IDF is following those tests, and there'll be another round with Hamas, no question about it.
And what the listeners should know is there's a difference between Hamas. Hamas is nothing compared to Hezbollah, who has a formally trained military.
Absolutely.
Air Force, a Navy,
absolutely,
all of that. So that's the difference. Mr. Argozy, I want to say thank you for being on Insight to Israel.
Thank you very much.
We're going to have you on again.
No problem.
I would
anytime
like to do updates with you on a regular basis.
Anytime.
And I want to say thank
you. On one condition, that you will bring Iris with you.
I will always. Iris ain't going anywhere, because even if I wanted to get rid of her, she'd still be calling me, pounding me. Michael, do you have this done? Michael, do you have your bus number?
You're lucky that she's here with you.
I'm blessed, sir. I can tell you she's been a great friend, and I thank God for her. This is Michael Gannett with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. Thank you for listening to the show. God bless the Patriot Conservatives who stand for the Judeo-Christian-founded Constitution and Bill of Rights, and God bless Israel and her fight for sovereignty and security.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.